Good morning, everyone. Daf Kuf Dalet. We're back on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis, and we're towards the top of the page on Kuf Gimel Amud Beis. Tana Rabbanan, we are about 10 lines down from the top of the page. First word in the line is Nechemiah ben Chachilai. Last thing we mentioned in the Gemara yesterday from Paskaniyov is that you see a lot of people who don't have friends, who have a lot of enemies in this world. So generally speaking, you can assume that the way he's perceived in this world is the way he's perceived in the upper world as well. Gemara says that's not always true. In fact, we see historically there are people who have tremendous amounts of enemies, but were beloved by Hashem. David HaMelech, Nechemiah ben Chachilai, people who are beset by enemies, but nevertheless, they Hakadosh Baruch Hu liked them. Tana Rabbanan, we're going to continue in the Gemara today, and the theme is going to be basically the same thing that we had yesterday, and that is kings who just didn't make the cut. Not in a good way. Not in a good way, but in a bad way. Well, how do I mean this? The Mishnah gave us a short list of kings who didn't have a chelek in Olam Haba, right? But as we're going to learn about, they weren't the only really bad kings. Yeravam, Menasheh, Achav, those are the big three. Those are the people who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. There are going to be other kings who we're going to be learning about over the course of this morning who were disasters. And Ovid, Avodah Zarah, and committed other atrocious acts. And nevertheless, they didn't make the cut. They're not in the Mishnah. They didn't get a chelek in Olam Haba. And the Gemara is going to wonder, by some of them, how come they didn't make the cut? And sometimes the Gemara is just simply not going to know. Okay, which makes me feel better. But all the times when I don't know. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara says, we learned in the Brisa, Menashe Yeshona Chamishim V'Chamishim Panim B'Toros Kohanim. Menashe taught Toros Kohanim. Toros Kohanim is Sefer Vayikra. The Medrashon Sefer Vayikra, it's called the Sifra. It's also called the Sifra. And he would learn it 55 different ways, right? Chidushim, novella. That is how he taught Sefer Vayikra and Toros Kohanim. Again, we're talking about the same Menashe who doesn't have a portion of the world to come. So, obviously, one of the points the Gemara is making is that despite the fact that he was a Talmud Chacham, nevertheless, his behavior and the way he conducted himself, all the Torah that he taught and learned, did not help him out. And why 55? What was so significant about the number 55? Keneged Shnei Malchuso, because that's the number of years that he ruled for, as we already discussed a couple of times. Achav, Shmonim v'chamisha. Achav, 85 different ways. Yeravam, Mea v'shlosha, and Yeravam was 103. Okay, so again, it's interesting, and I believe the Gemara's point is that despite the fact that they were so knowledgeable and such Talmid Chachamim, and they had Chidushim, but nevertheless, the behavior, can't overlook the behavior. Tanya Yeremi Meir Omer Avshalom Ein Lo Chelek Olam Haba. Okay, now we get on to other kings. Other kings who either do or do not belong in this category. Where the category is kings who don't have a Chelek in Olam Haba. That's the category. And we know we already know who made it into the three. And the Gemara now from this point forward are going to discuss other kings who are candidates but may or may not make it.
But Avshalom a king though?
Right. It's a good point. Gemara qualifies him as a king. I mean, look, the Gemara said about Bar Koziva, about Bar Kokhla, he was also a king. A role of leadership, right, whether accepted or not, still has some sort of status. Avshalom ain't lo chelek olam haba. Avshalom doesn't have a chelek olam haba. Shenemar v'yaku. It's Avshalom v'yamisu v'yaku. Sorry, v'yamisu. Okay, pause. They hit him, and he died. So the Gemara... Gemara picks up on the double language, huh?
And they killed them.
Right. So the double language speaks to the idea that he doesn't get a portion in either world, neither in this world nor in the world to come. Okay. Tanya Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Achaz v'Achaz v'Cholmachi Yisrael Shekasa v'Em v'Yasara b'Nei Hashem. We'll give you a short list of Achaz, Achazia, and all the Malchi Yisrael, and every time it says by them, Vayasara b'Nei Hashem, you'll see, by all these kings, it gives like a short biography at the end of their lives. And sometimes, in other words, usually it's a remark of either they did good or they did bad. So very often we're going to find, by many of the kings of Israel, go through Sefer Malachim, and you're going to find that the eulogy at the end of their life, the eulogy found in Navi, is Vayasara b'Nei Hashem. They did bad. So, but what that means is, lo chayim v'lo nidonim. lo chayim, they're not going to live. In other words, they're not going to experience tchias hameisim. But lo nidonim, they're not going to be judged in Gehenna for an infinite number of years after that. So they're in limbo. So exactly what that means, I'm not the address to help you on that. But they're in some sort of limbo. Okay. V'gam dam naki shafach menashe harbei ma'od asher malas Yerushalayim pelapa. Menashe. Menashe was an insanely bad king. He was just a disaster. We discussed how he proliferated Avodah Zarah. And he also was a murderer. So, and the Gemara is going to get to in just a moment, so how come he didn't make the cut? But before we get to that point, just let's explain this pasuk in Malachim by Menashe. He killed Dam Naki Shafach Menashe Arbei Ma'od. He did a lot of killing until he filled Yerushalayim Peh LaPeh from one mouth to the other mouth. So he filled Yerushalayim with murder. So who did he kill? I'm sorry, Levad Mechatasor Asher Echtis Yehuda Lasos Harabei Ne'eshem. Aside from all of his other sins. Okay? That's Menashe. So, who did he kill? So the Gemara is going to give now two pshatim. Hacha, over here, meaning here in Bavel. Well, I mean, we're not in Bavel right now, but we're learning Talmud Bavli. So over here in Bavel, Hacha Targimu Sha'aragi Yeshayahu. So he was the murderer of Yeshayahu. Menashe killed Yeshayahu. Okay? So it's one person. It's not many people, it's one person. It sounds like Yerushalayim was filled with murder from one end to the other. Because qualitatively, Yeshayahu was such a significant Navi. So the murder of one individual is commensurate to a city full of dead people. The Ma'arava Amri and Eretz Yisrael, they say, no, Shasav, Selam Asu Elaf B'nei Adam. No, we're going to understand the pasuk a little more literally. He made this big statue. It was the weight that you needed 1,000 men to carry it. V'chol yom ayom, Hore Kulam, and he forced people to carry this thing. It crushed the carriers just by its sheer weight. And that's what it means when he murdered the city of Yerushalayim from one end of the city to the other end of the city. Okay? So it was murder and idolatry basically in the same one fell swoop. So Kemana Azlahadam Rabba Babachana Shkula Neshama Shal Tzadik Echa Keneged Kolam Kulo. Neshama of one tzadik is equal to the entire world. Kemana Amar Yishayahu Harag. That goes in line with the first pshat, that him killing the entire city of Yerushalayim is just Yeshayahu, but Yeshayahu by himself is valued at the entire city of Yerushalayim. Okay, fine. More about Menashe. Ksiv Pesel, Ksiv Psilim. We have two different accounts of him building a statue, an idol, and placing it in the Heichal. He put it in the Beis HaMikdash. However, in the two different accounts, one account, it says peso, and in another account, it says psilim. Singular versus plural. So it's a simple question. How many statues did he put into the Beis HaMikdash? So Amar Rav Yochanan mitzchil asa lo pirtzuf achad ulvesof asa lo arba pirtzufim, kidei shetir shechina v'tich os. So the Gemara says, starts with one, goes to four. And the reason why he went to four, now I'm going to say it, I just don't understand what I'm saying, is so that when the Shechina enters into the Heichal, whichever direction the Shekhinah comes in, so the Shekhinah is going to see the face, the image of this statue, and he did it to taunt and to really blaspheme against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whichever direction the Shekhinah comes in. Okay, now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to basically take a historical trek with the Judean kings, the wicked Judean kings, right? And we're going to discuss how each one try to better the other one in terms of how wicked can I be? How bad can I be? So we start with Achaz. Remember now, Achaz is the father of Chizkiyahu. So Vatichos, I'm sorry. Achaz emidu ba'aliyah. Achaz placed a statue in the aliyah, somewhere in the second floor of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay? Shenema v'esam izbechos asher al agag aliyas Achaz. Okay? So he placed it on the rooftop, so the second floor, in the Beis HaMikdash. Menashe, not to get upended by his grandfather, so Menashe went further. Menashe emidu beheichal. So Menashe put it in the heichal, shenemar, vayasem es pesel asher asher asa beveis asher amar Hashem al David ve'al Shlomo beveis azev Yerushalayim asher bacharti mikol shifti Yisrael asim ashmi la'olam. Okay? So Menashe did one better than his grandfather. He put it actually in the Heichal itself. Okay. So we start with Achaz. We go two generations later to Manasseh, and then we go to Amon. Now, Amon, I don't know how many generations later Amon is. Amon echnisu lebeis kadesh hakadoshim, but he went over and above. He took a statue, an idol, and he put it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Shenemar. It's clear in Yeshayahu. I'm sorry, it's not clear. I meant not. It's not clear in Yeshayahu, but the Gemara is going to tease it out of a pasuk in Yeshayahu. The pasuk says, Ki kasar hametza mihistareya, v'hamasecha tzara, ki hiskanes.
How did he get in there? How could he get in there without dying?
That's a fair question. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe he threw it in. I don't know. The mattress is too short. It's katsar. It's too short to cover the whole bed. And the masecha and the covering is too narrow. Okay, right, totally ambiguous pasuk. We don't know what the pasuk's talking about. The Gemara darshins. Maika katsar ametza mihistareya. Amr Shmuel bar Nachmeni. Amr Rav Yonasan. Ki katsar hamatzazeh mihistareya alav. Shnei re'im ke'echad. There is not room enough in the Beis HaMikdash, specifically in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for two re'im, two friends, two neighbors. Friends is definitely not the right word, but two neighbors to coincide, to coexist. So in other words, obviously Kodesh HaKadoshim is the main sanctuary of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? The residence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he throws in another idol. There's no room for that. Okay, my ba masichat tzara. And then, while we're in that pasuk, so we're going to darshan the second half of the pasuk in the same context that we're darshaning it right now. I'm Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni, Rabbi Yonah's son. Ki avamati lahaykra havekabachi. When Rabbi Yonasan got to this part of the pasuk in Yeshayahu, he would start crying. Mishikasev bo kones kaned mehayam. Kadosh Baruch Hu, who gathered all the oceans like a stick, like a staff. Taselo masechat tzara. And he was given a co-wife. Right, so somebody, another idol, was thrown in to the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay, so we've so far covered Achaz, Menashe, and Amon. Amon, by the way, not to be confused with Amnon. Right, Amnon was much earlier. Amon. Now we are continuing Achaz, and again we are going to compare and contrast how evil each one of these kings were. Achaz bitol savoda v'chasam asatara. Achaz stopped the avoda from being performed, and he was chosim asatara. He sealed the Torah. Shenemar sur teudah chasom Torah b'limudai. Okay, he was chosim Torah. He sealed the Torah. I'm not sure. Right, he literally sealed it. I'm not sure. Gemara is not clear about what exactly he did to seal it. Menashe, kadar es haazkaros v'haras es hamizbeach. Now we go to the grandson Menashe. He cut out the names of God from the Sefer Torah. Apparently, there was some right prototype Sefer Torah that was used in the Beis Hamikdash. It doesn't seem like every Sefer Torah, but I'm not sure. V'haras es hamizbeach, and he destroyed the mizbeach, meaning his grandfather just stopped the mizbeach from working. He actually horas es hamizbeach. He destroyed it. Amon. And now we move on to the next Judean king. He was Sorifas HaTorah Ve'ala Shamamas HaGabei HaMizbeach. So he burned the Torah and he allowed cobwebs to grow on the Mizbeach. It's a little bit strange because Menashe destroyed it. I guess destruction doesn't mean totally knocked it down, but destruction maybe means he chipped it or he dented it. Okay. I'm suggesting. And then Amon came along later and he just simply allowed cobwebs to grow on it, like really let it rot. Again, we're gonna do this again. We're just gonna string through these Judean kings one more time. And the idea is the same basic idea. Each one advanced a level of rishus over the former. Achaz hitir es ha'erva. Achaz permitted illicit behavior. Menashe ba'al achosam. Menashe had relations with his sister, and Amon ba'al imon. Amon had relations with his mother. Shenamar ki hu Amon harbei ashama. He was very guilty. Again, the Navi does not describe this specifically as the Gemara is. Rabbi Yochanan Rav Elazar, when the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim says that he was very guilty, so what does that mean? Machlokes amorayim. So one says that he burnt the Torah, the other one says that he slept with his mother. Amr lo imo. Now there's more tradition in terms of this act of incestuous relations with his mother. His mother said to him, "Klum yishtacha anami makam shiyatza mimenu." How can you have benefit and pleasure having relations the same place that you came out of? Apparently, right? There's definitely some depth over here. It's just impossible to have benefit and pleasure from such a place. So he says to his mother, "You know, you're absolutely right. I'm not doing this to get benefit. I'm doing this just simply to anger God." Okay. And then we turn. Okay, so we've discussed the trifecta of Achaz, Menashe, and Amon. But now we save the best for last. And now we talk about Jehoiakim. Jehoiakim is one of the last Judean kings, right? Yechaniah, Sidkiah was the last one. But around that area, around those last kings, you have Jehoiakim. He was the best. And I mean that in the most sarcastic way imaginable. Ki asa Jehoiakim amar kamay lo yadei la'arguzei klum anutzrichim ela la'ora. My earlier generations, my predecessors, they didn't know how to really taunt and tease God. Right? They tried, but they didn't know how to do it. Allow me to show you how to genuinely upset the Ribono Shel Olam. Look, I'll tell you. You know why we need God? We need Him for light. That's basically His function. That's what He does in this world. Yesh lanu zahav parvim, but we don't even need that. We have some sort of gold, some sort of metal. Apparently, it provides its own illumination. Shalom mishtam shimbo yitolomro. So God could take His light. We don't need God. We don't need His light. Amr lo, so they said to him, even in this act of blasphemy, they say, "Valo kesef azav shalohu." What do you mean? The silver and gold that belongs to God. So what do you mean, God take your light? He'll take His silver and gold as well. Shenemar liyah kesef aliyazav nuam Hashem tzvakos. Okay, Amr lahem. So he says back to them, this is Jehoiakim. Kvar nasnu lanu. What do you mean? He gave it to us. Shenemar Hashemayim Shemayim LaHashem V'Haaretz Nasan Livnei HaAdam. Gemara in Brachos, 6th Perek, also goes through basically the same discussion, but not in a heretical manner, in a much more, the world belongs to Hashem. Once we make a bracha, so then we can claim, we can claim it. So every time we eat food, before we make the bracha, it belongs to Hashem, and after we make the bracha, Nasan Livnei HaAdam. But over here, right, Jehoiakim really twists. He takes this pasuk and he says, it all belongs to us now anyway, so it's all ours. So the only thing that we don't own is the light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we don't need it. Okay. So now we have a formal introduction to four Judean kings. Achaz, Menashe, Amon, Jehoiakim. And so the question is, it's a pretty straightforward question, so how come they didn't make the grade? How come they didn't make the cut? We're discussing levels of rishos, which is rather amazing, and yet our list, our short list, is Yeravam, Menashe, and Achav. So there are a number of excellent candidates of people who should be in our Mishnah and are not in our Mishnah. So the Gemara is going to be genuinely bothered by this. Amalei Rava LeRava Bar Mari Mimnei Malomanu Es Jehoiakim. So we're going to do this one at a time. Okay, so first Jehoiakim. I know he's the last, but why didn't he make the grade? He was the last and he was the worst. It seems from the way the Gemara progresses, it seems to be that way. Again, I hate judging, and it's not fair to say who was worse than the other, but it seems that way. Mishum dechsiv bei v'yesed divrei Jehoiakim v'tovav v'osav asher asav v'animsa alav. The rest of what Jehoiakim did and all the disgusting things that he did, the hanimsa alav, and that was found upon him. What does that mean? My hanimsa alav, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, again, machlokas amaraim, same amaraim, who debate what exactly was nimsa alav, what was found on Jehoiakim. Chanamar shechakak shem avodas kochavam alam aso. So he tattooed an idolatrous name on his aver. Okay. The chanamar shechakak shem shamayim al amato. Or it was shem shamayim that he tattooed and engraved on his aver.
Had I heard.
Okay. I have to tell you, Sanhedrin, of all the Gemaras that are just simply uncensored and just as shocking, Sanhedrin as a Masechta is like, it's the most amazing. So that's what he did, and that's what's hanimsa alav, right? That's what is found upon him, and that what makes Yoyakim so heinous. And again, it just reinforces the question. That's all it does. So how come he's not in our list in the Mishnah Sanhedrin? Amalei b'malachim lo shamati. So the answer is a very simple: I don't know. It would seem that Yoyakim should be in our Mishnah, and for reasons that I cannot explain, he's not in our Mishnah. Okay. But on a similar subject, I do this all the time. I don't know the answer, but can I tell you about what I do know? The hejyot or shamati. I can tell you that there's a hejyot, a non-king, that's not in our Mishnah. You would think he should be in our Mishnah, and I'll explain to you why he's not in our Mishnah. All right, so I don't have the answer for Yoyakim, but I do have an answer for somebody else. Mibnei malon manu is Micha. How come Micha's not in our Mishnah? Now Micha is not a king, but it doesn't matter. Our Mishnah lists a group of people who are non-kings who also don't have a chelek on Olam Haba. Now, who is Micha? So let's remind each other what we learned a couple of days ago. Micha was one of the children who should have died in Egypt, but Moshe saved him. Right? Moshe questioned God's fairness. So, right, these children who are being put in the walls, how come? How come they're being killed? So God says, okay, so let's try me out. So take one of them out. So Rashi brings down this medrash we saw a couple days ago. He took out Micha, and Micha went on to become a major idolater. Built a pesel, called Pesel Micha, and Sefer Shoftim. You'll read about this pesel a couple of times in Sefer Shoftim. A lot of people worshipped it. And so he was an enabler, a serious enabler of idolatry. So how come Micha is not in the list of people who are not, who don't have a portion in the world to come? Mimnei shepito mitzuya la ovrei derachel. Because he did achnasas orchim. He was big on hospitality. And that act, that mitzvah, and this, the Gemara will use this to really discuss achnasas orchim to a certain length. Take us to the next amud. He engaged in the mitzvah of hospitality, and that saved him. Shenamar kol over v'shava el alavim v'avar bayam sara. Sorry, v'shava el alavim. Okay, anyone who passed by over the levim, this isn't. It's funny. The pasuk says shenamar. You think that the Gemara is about to quote a pasuk? It's not a pasuk, right? You'll see on the side of the Gemara. We're not quoting a pasuk over here. It's just the idea. We have some sort of tradition that Micha engaged in the mitzvah of hachnasas orchem. Okay, we're on the topic of Micha, so we're going to darshan a little bit about the pesel that Micha built. The pasuk in Zechariah, which obviously is much later on, but the Gemara darshans this pasuk to be describing the pesel of Micha. Tanya Rabbi Nathan Omer, Migrav l'Shilo Gimel Milim. From Grav to Shilo were 3 mil, right? Short distance from one to the other. Vaya Asher Amaracha. Now, smoke ascended from both. Now, the Shiloh, the Mishkan Shiloh, which by the way was there for almost 400 years, and that's where the Avodah was performed. So obviously that was for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pesel Micha, the idol that was made for Micha, that obviously was for idolatry. They were only 3 kilometers away from one another. That's it. And as the smoke rose up to Hashem, so the smoke of the idolatry of Pesel Micha mixed, intermingled with the smoke that was coming up from the Mishkan Shiloh. Okay? And obviously this is offensive. Bikshu Malach Esharos L'dochfo. Malach Esharos wanted to kill Micha. Just wanted to take him down. Amla Mekash Baruch Hu Hinichu Lo. And God says to the Malach Esharos, don't touch Micha. Shepito Mitzuya L'ovrei Derachim. Because he does the mitzvah of achnasas orchim, and therefore, from, as far as I'm concerned, he's untouchable. Now, more on the Pesel Micha, and we'll come back to hospitality in just a moment. Because of Pesel Micha, so as a result of that, you had the incident of Pelegish Begiva. Now, what the Gemara does not mean is that Pelegish Begiva happens because Pesel Micha, but because Pesel Micha was left untouched and unrebuked, and we just kind of let it linger there for all those years. So the result is that Pelegish Begiva turned as bad as it did. Pelegish Begiva, the last 3 chapters of Sefer Shoftim, you'll read about a civil war that takes place between the tribe of Binyamin and the other nations, and it was all because of a Pelegish, of a concubine, right? I'm not going to summarize the story right now, but 40,000 people died. Right now, that's the part that really should stick out. 40,000 people died on account of this incident. The Gemara says part of the reason why so many people died is because Pesach Micha was left there for as long as it was. Amar Mekadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodi V'lo Misyach V'lo Miyaches Al Kvado Shabbos V'dam Misyachem. You weren't worried about my honor. Okay, so I'm not going to worry about your honor. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Yossi Ben Kisma Gedola Legima. Okay, how good is this mitzvah of Hachnasas Orchim? Okay, so the Gemara now will spend some time discussing how important it is, this mitzvah of hospitality, of taking people in. So we're going to get the headlines, and then we're going to read each article. So first the headlines. Sheirchiku shtei mishpachos miYisrael. It distanced two families from Israel. Shenemar al-davar shelo kidmu etchem b'lechem uv'mayim. We're talking about Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab, we tell them, the Torah tells them, you can't join us, ever. Even if you convert, the conversion's fine, you can't marry into our family. Obviously, this only talks about the males, not the females, but because, and it's all because they didn't provide us lechem and mayim, they didn't provide bread and water. As we were traveling through the desert, we went over to them, we said, would you give us some bread and water? And they said to us, no. Okay? That's one. Two, Rav Yochanan Didei Amar Marcheket HaKrovim, it distances our relatives. By the way, I'm going to more of our relatives, right? The Gemara clearly refers to them as relatives. We understand. They are descendants of Lot. Lot is a nephew of Avraham. So they're relatives. They're related to us. Umekareves es arechokim. It brings people who are far away close. Me'alemes einayim min arishayim. It hides God's eyes from wicked people. Umashashchina al nevi abal. It allows false prophets to receive nevuah. Vishigagasa ola zadon. And even if you are an inadvertently violating the mitzvah of hospitality, Hashem says, I don't care if it was inadvertent, I'm treating it like it was intentional. Okay, those are the headlines. And so now the Gemara is going to go through each one of the headlines. Marcheket es hakrovim, we're on the top of Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Me'amon u'Moav. So good, so that's easy. Ammon u'Moav, who should have been hospitable to us, was not hospitable to us, and so therefore the Torah says, done. You're not allowed to come into and marry into the Jewish people. That's Ammon u'Moav. And that's all a function of the fact that they were not hospitable. Two, Mikareves as a rechokim miYisrael. That comes from Yisrael. Damar of Yochanan, Bishar, Karan, Lo, V'yachal, Lechem. Right? Moshe was out wandering out in Midian, and Yisro says, bring him in. Let's bring him into the house. And because Yisro did that, Zachu b'nei bano v'yashvu b'lishkas agazes. So obviously now he has a son-in-law called Moshe, as in Moshe Rabbeinu, and he has children and grandchildren who sat in the lishkas agazes. Shenamar omi mishpacha sofrim yoshvei yavetz. Tartaim shamatim sochtim hema hakinim habay machmas avi beis rechev uksiv hasam uvnei keni chosei mosho alo meira tamarim as bnei Yehuda midvar Yehuda shebenegev ered vayelik vayeshev esam umalemes. I'm sorry, vayeshev esam. Stringing these two psukim together, so the Gemara ascertains that the descendants of Yisro was in fact in the lishkas agazes, all because Yisro invited Moshe in and was hospitable to Moshe.
Didn't we learn that Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson was on idolatry also?
Menashe. Right. Correct. Correct. Okay, so Yesh v'Yesh. He had a mix of grandchildren. Umalemes einayim min harishayim. And it covers God's eyes from Rishayim, so that's Mimicha. That got us into this whole discussion. Micha was such a wicked individual, an idolater, an enabler, and yet Hashem says, "Don't touch him because he was hospitable." Okay, Mashra Shchina al Neviyeh Habaal Mechaveiro Shel Ido. That we learn from the friend of Ido. We learn that because of hospitality, someone who is not a navi, not only not a navi, a navi Baal, an idolatrous navi, But nevertheless, because of the mitzvah of hospitality, he'll receive nevuah. Shalido anavi dechsiv vayhiyem yashim al shulchan v'yidvar Hashem al anavi asher heshivu heshivo. In short, in brief, Ido, we discussed this story also some time ago. Ido was told to go up to Yeravam and say to Yeravam, give up the idolatry, give up the bad practices. You were supposed to be a good king, not the way you're conducting yourself. Part of Edo's instructions by God, Edo was a real Navi, part of his instructions is that when you go back home, don't come home the same way you came, and don't eat or drink on the entire duration on your way home. Right? This was the instructions that were given to Edo. As he's walking home, out comes a false prophet and says to him, you know, I was told by God today that you should come into my house and you should eat with me. Okay. Right, that's confusing because Ido was told just the opposite. So he should not have listened to him. For whatever reason he did, he came into his house and he sat down and he ate together with this prophet. And then what happens, and that's what the Gemara is quoting right now, the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting right now, is that all of a sudden this false prophet received a real prophecy. And along comes Dvar Hashem, not to Ido, because Ido is real, but to the false prophet. And so, what do you mean? He's getting Dvar Hashem? He's hearing from God? Yeah. Because he was engaged in the mitzvah of Hachnas Azorchim, because of his mitzvah of hospitality, so he received real prophecy. And finally, Shigagasa Ola Zadon, the last thing about Hachnas Azorchim, is that if you don't do it inadvertently, God doesn't treat it like a show gig. God treats it like a mazid. To Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Yomalei Hilval Yohana Son LaDavid Shtei Kikaros Lechem Lo Nehergar Nov Ira Kohanim Velo Nitra Doig Adami Velo Nehreg Shaul Ushloshes Barnav. Okay. That's a mouthful. Yohana Son tells David, my father wants to kill you. Okay. And David now runs. The Gemara says that Yohanan should, before David ran, Yohanan, by the way, was friends, best friends with David. So what Yohanan should have done is leave him with loaves of bread, so that when David's on the run, he'll have food. But he should have given him Seder L'Derech. And Yohanan doesn't do that. And because of that, let's follow now what resulted. So David has to run. He goes to the city of Nov, begs them for provisions. City of Nov hands provisions over, but Doeg now goes and tattles on what the city of Nov did. Shaul goes and kills the entire city of Nov. Doeg is punished for his act of rechilus. Shaul is punished for his killing off the city of Nov. Actually, Doeg himself killed off the city of Nov. All this happened because Yonasan didn't give bread to David. Now, Yonasan didn't mean bad by that. It was a show gig. That's exactly the point.
What about the city of Nov extended Hachnas Adrochim to David? What was there is there for?
Right, right.
I mean, this is the whole point of the whole discussion about you know,
right, right, right.
You got killed.
Correct. Okay, it's a good question. It's a very good question. Fine. So I know we're free flowing right now. We're all over the place. It's hard to structure, but I'm going to try to. The question on the table, the broader question on the table right now is how come certain kings did not make the cut? So we talked about Yehoyakim. The question was he was the last of these evil Judean kings, and tattooing names of idols and a Kadosh Baruch Hu on his aver, and nevertheless he didn't make the cut. The Gemara says why, and the Gemara says I don't know. Okay, we work backwards now. Umimelo manu es Achaz. How come he didn't make it? Achaz was the father of Chizkiyahu, who we described earlier as introducing idolatry into the Beis Hamikdash. He only put it on the upper floor, but still. He brought it in. So Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba ben Shemuta ben Shnei Tzadikim ben Yosam leChizkiyahu, because Achaz was sandwiched between two good kings, his son Chizkiyahu, and his father was Yosam. Okay, two good kings. So even though he was bad, but the zchus of his father and his son protected him and gave him a portion in the world to come. Rav Yosef Amar Mishayu Laboshes Panim Mishayahu. He had busha. He had a form of embarrassment. It didn't change his behavior, but nevertheless he was embarrassed. Yishayahu the Navi was told, you need to go visit Achaz. You and your son Shar Yashuv. El Kisei Talas Abrechal Yonah. El Misilas Ste Koves. Along the pathway of the field of Koves. Koves is usually translates as a launderer. My Koves, what does that mean? So some say very simply that as Achaz is passing Yishayahu, right? You know that feeling when you're passing somebody and you don't want to see them for whatever reason, and so you kind of just like hide your face from that person. That was Achaz when he saw Yishayahu. Okay? So he had busha, so he had embarrassment. So again, that doesn't make things better, but at least it explains why he is not in our Mishnah, why he doesn't lose all of his Olam Haba. The second pshat is a similar pshat. It's just it better describes the word koves. Koves means launderer. Launderers back in the good old days, they had like a sprinkler, much like what we have, you know, in our backyards. So that we have an attachment on our hose, and it, you know, shoots the water out, and it's like a sprinkler. So that's what the launderers back then had. They had some sort of sprinkler. Rashi tries to describe it, and the and he put it on his head. Apparently, it was a big attachment. He put it on his head when he passed by Yishayahu, so that Yishayahu wouldn't see him. It's the same basic idea. He had busha from Yishayahu. Okay, all right. So Achaz, we do have an answer. We do explain why Achaz didn't make it into our Mishnah. Okay, Amon. Okay, Amon is between Menashe and Yehoyakim. Okay, how come he didn't make it into our Mishnah? Now remember, Amon, he was the one who brought the idol into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Okay, that's serious. So how come he didn't lose his portion in the world to come? Mimnei Kvodo Shel Yoshiyahu. He had a son, and his son was Yoshiyahu. Yoshiyahu was a good king. Okay? So Menashe Nami Lo Nimnu, Mimnei Kvodo Shel Chizkiyahu. So the Gemara says, okay, so why isn't Menashe saved? Menashe is in our Mishnah, and so why isn't he saved? So Mimnei Kvodo Shel Chizkiyahu. And he had a great father. He had Chizkiyahu. Bra Mizaki Abba, Abba Lo Mizaki Bra. Gemara gives an unbelievable yesod. Son can save the father. Father cannot save the son. Okay? So you have bad father, good son. Good son will help bad father. Right? But it won't work in the opposite. Right? A good father, bad son. Right? Good father won't help the son.
Don't we help from
Zchus Avos? Yes, but in other words, in the sense of, yeah, we all have Zchus Avos, but in the sense of actually transferring mitzvahs from one to the other, so the son's good actions will transfer over to the father, but not the other way around. Abba lo mezake bra, dichsiv, v'ein miyadi matzil, ein Avram matzil Yishmael. Avram's not saving Yishmael. And Yitzchak Matzilas Esav, Yitzchak does not save Esav, and so the father is not going to help the son. So it's true that
didn't Shmuel do Shiva? They said
who?
Shmuel.
Yeah, right. The point is that you're right, but it has to be from Yishmael. It can't be from Avraham. Whatever. Sitkus Avram has doesn't transfer over to Yishmael. Yishmael on his own may have done tshuva.
Right, it's implying that he was unsaved. But we know that
I understand. You're right. Okay. Once again, that's a very good point.
It's towards the end of his life.
All right. 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 How should the Asa Sahachi Achaz Namilo Imne Mishum Kvodo Shel Chizkiyahu? And now that we made this point, so we could say that regarding Achaz, so. He had the covenant of Chizkiyahu. He had a good son. Okay, and that in of itself, in other words, you don't need to explain that he was sandwiched. There's just a simple fact that he had Chizkiyahu as a good son. That's enough that Achaz does not make it into our Mishnah. I guess also part of the idea, although the Gemara doesn't say this, I'm suggesting part of the idea is that when you have a good son, it shows that the father was not as bad as you thought he was. right? In other words, something must have transferred over from the father to the son. To us, he looks bad, but if the son's coming out like that, there must be something there in the father that perhaps we didn't see.
These comparisons don't mean that they didn't get a mob, it just means they didn't make the list.
Right, so correct.
What's that mean? Because how is that a covenant to the father who's dead already? You know, to save him, I understand why that was the father. But to not make the list, the father's dead, but how is he offended by the mission?
I'm not sure if it's an issue of covenant.
The father was spared punishment because of the son's name.
Right. I don't know if the issue here is covenant. I just think it's an issue of some sort of right. Just the zechuyah somehow get transferred.
They're spared this extra punishment because of the zechut of the son.
Right.
The son.
Right.
That's all.
Okay. Umimne malamanu es Yehoyakim. Okay. So we're back to Yehoyakim. Right. So we've so far really explained. Everyone, we explained Achaz and Amon, but yet we have yet to explain Yehoyakim. So we asked the question earlier, really almost the beginning of this morning. We asked the question: how come Yehoyakim is not in our Mishnah, right? The worst of the Judean kings, and he's not in our list of those kings who don't have a chelek in Olam Haba. And so the previous answer was, I don't know. And so now the Gemara is going to try to explain. So Mishum de Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya, Dam Rabbi Chiya bar Avuya, Ksiv Agugloso Shal Yehoyakim Zos Va'Odacheres. So we're going to review a story that we saw about a month ago in the Daf, less than a month ago. Zos Va'Odacheres. Zekeno de Rabbi Preda Ashkach Ugloso Davik Keshaj B'Shar Yerushalayim. Grandfather Rabbi Preda sees a skull in the city of Yerushalayim. Ksiv Ba Zos Va'Odacheres. On the skull was engraved the following words: this and another. Okay? Kibra v'lo ikbare. He tried burying the skull, but the burial wouldn't take. The skull kept rising up from the ground. Kavra v'lo ikbare tried a second time. Amar gugoso shal yo yakimi. And the grandfather Rabbi Preda says, oh, I know. I got it. This is the skull of Yehoyakim. Dechziv be'kvurus chamor yikaver sachov v'hashlech. You will always be cast. You will never be successfully buried. And as he tried to bury the skull and saw that the skull refused to be buried, comes to the realization that this is the skull of Yehoyakim. They didn't have any other forensics back then. Amar Malka hu v'lo ichsha l'zezule bay. Yehoyakim was a king. Right? An important life lesson. Right? As evil was as he was, but he still was the king. And therefore should be treated with a certain amount of respect and accord. Karcha b'shirai v'usvei b'sifta. Now you'll probably remember the story. Right? He wrapped up the skull in shirayim, in silk, and he put it in a chest. Chazi devasayu, and his wife finds the chest with the skull in it. Savra had isasa kamaisa havai. Earlier, by the way, if you remember the story when it was told to us earlier, it was the neighbors who put this idea in her head. Here, for some reason, the Gemara tells us it was her own concoction of whose skull this was. So she thought, oh, this must have been the skull of a previous wife. Obviously. I mean, why else would he be hiding skulls in his... Okay.
What did it say on the top of the skull?
The
inscription on the skull was what?
Zos va'odacheres.
So the wife needed to get killed on the wife. I guess,
maybe she thought, that's great. I didn't even think about that. She thought, Zos va'odacheres. Right, this one, and wait till we get to the next one. That's great. I never thought of that. That could very well be what you thought. The halo kamashila. So he can't forget about her. Shagra tanur v'kalta. So she throws the skull into the oven. She burns the skull. And hainu dichsiv. And now we know the pshat zos v'odacheres, meaning this is going to be as a result of how evil you were. And then in the future, sometime historically in the future, you're going to have to. Your body's going to suffer more. But because, and over here, by the way, it's all positive. Because of the suffering that was endured by the body of Yehoyakim, so therefore he was spared of not being inserted in our Mishnah and receiving some portion in the world to come. Okay, Tanya. Yeah, let's go. I'm Rabbi Shimon Melazar Bishvil HaTovei Nechasisa Ma'os Bishvil Ma'os Nachrim Achlu al Shulchanu Bishvil Shenachrim Achlu al Shulchanu Garon Galus Levanav. Okay. The The Gemara earlier, top of the page, talked about how important it was of hospitality. Here, the Gemara highlights not always. It's not a universal. Hospitality is not always good. Here, the Gemara chastises Chizkiyahu because Chizkiyahu was hospitable to the Babylonians. He brought them in. He showed them some good stuff that he had, some of his treasures. And the Gemara says, because he did that, and he invited on his shulchan, nachrim, right, foreigners who ate at his table, garam galus levanav, caused an exile to his children. Because it's the same Babylonians who Chizkiyahu invited to his table, and he showed off the treasures, so they said, oh, you know what, this looks good, we're coming back. But not as guests.
As the owner.
Yeah, misay, correct. Misayele lechizkiyahu da'amar chizkiyahu kol amizamino v'kocham l'soch beso umisham shalav garm galus levanav. Inviting over the kochavim into your house and serving them causes exile to your children. Shenamar uvanecha asher yatsu mimcha asher tolid yichu v'ayusri sim beheichal melech bavel. And the pasuk continues v'yisma chaleim chizkiyahu v'yoram es beis nachto. And he showed them Beis Nochto. Now, what does that mean, he showed them Beis Nochto? Not a clear word in Tanakh what that means. Es HaKesef, Es HaZav, Es HaBesam, Es HaShem HaTov. The other things we know. He showed off his silver, his gold, his perfume, his oil. But what does that mean, Beis Nochto? Amar Abay, my Beis Nochto. So what he showed off? Ishto Hishkasa Aleihem. Shot number one. His wife served the Babylonians. Nochto means his wife. See Rashi for a description of why Nochto is a reference to his wife. Shmuel Amar Beis Genazav Haralayim. He showed him his whole treasure. He showed the Babylonians his whole treasure house. Rav Yochanan Amar Zin Ochel Zin Haralayim. He showed them the latest in weaponry. Right? The Chizkiyahu had sophisticated weaponry. Zion Ochel Zion. Weapons that could beat other weapons. And Rashi says some sort of hard iron that they alloyed together, and that's what he showed the Babylonians. And again, whatever the pshat is, because he invited them into the house and he showed them, he showed off his whatever he showed off to them. So they came back, but not as guests, but as Alan said very well, as owners of the house. We're going to stop here. I know we're further behind, but this is a perfect place for stopping. Tomorrow, it's like going to be like an introduction to Tisha B'Av. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about the destruction of the first temple based on Psukim in Eicha.